May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please do be seated. Well, if you've been watching the news this week, you'll see Mr. Cameron's been in Sri Lanka, and he's been caught up in all kinds of controversy. That's our political system for you. He's out there trying to get a message across. The story isn't about him, of course. It's about the thousands of people who have disappeared or been killed in Sri Lanka. The problem of the terrorist group, the Tamil Tigers, and the fight back by the government. And now he's going out and he's visiting people who've been affected by all of that. And as he goes around, the cameras focus upon all these families, and you can see their tortured faces and the visible scars and pains which they have as a result of the terrible atrocities that have taken place in that country. And you can see the ongoing torment that it's going to be there for years, isn't it? That kind of the feelings of pain and suffering and loss in that country. Now, the reason I mention that is because if you imagine what it's like in Sri Lanka, think a little bit about what it would have been like in Palestine when Jesus was words were recounted by Luke. When Luke writes his gospel, the one that we're reading today, he's writing it to a group of people who would have been suffering the same kinds of pains and agony because they'd lived through a terrible, terrible war. When Luke wrote his gospel, there had been a military uprising by the Jews. They'd killed, in one battle they killed 6,000 Roman soldiers. And Rome decided they were going to get even and put this country in its place. So Rome came in. We had an uprising in AD 66. By AD 70, all the Jews had kind of retreated into Jerusalem. And they were all in Jerusalem kind of hiding and holding out. It was a terrible siege. And Titus came along and he razed the city to the ground. And we're told that they had to climb over the bodies to kill the next bodies. There were rivers of blood flowing in the streets so that they quenched the fires. You can imagine how dreadful it would have been in that country. The Jewish rebels had fallen out with each other and they were killing each other, and then the Romans came in and killed them. I mean, it was just a complete bloodbath. It was awful. There was a little resistance which held out in Masada, and you all know the story of that. But just think how traumatized people would have been when Luke wrote his gospel. Because he would have written it after AD 70. Imagine how traumatized people would have been. Just like those people in Sri Lanka. They would have, lost members of their family. Some members, they wouldn't know where they were. They'd lost contact. Some had been shipped off into slavery. It would have been awful. On Partnership News, you can see my holiday photo. I'm always very wary now what photos are used around the place because people are all very touchy about copyright. So if you can use one of your own photos, it's a safe bet that you're all right. If you see that arch in Rome is quite fascinating. It's a big arch, like the Arc de Triomphe, which apparently was modelled on it. And you can see that little picture, which I've managed to capture there. It's not brilliant in detail, but you can see the candelabra, can't you? You can see the menorah. And it's being carried aloft, and these are the Roman soldiers taking the spoils of the temple. And they'd gone in, and they'd killed all the people, and they'd taken off all the goods. If there were fit people, they'd probably take some of them off to slavery. And they knocked all the stones down because, of course, the temple was full of gold. It was a magnificent temple. It had only been finished a few years earlier by Herod. And all the gold had melted into the stones. They chucked all the stones down. They recovered all the gold. They took it all away. There's spoils of war. And that's what that frieze depicts. It's important to see this because it puts our gospel in history. So often people say, oh, it's all made up and this kind of stuff. It's rooted in history. These are the things that were going on in the day. And so Luke is writing his passage today in the aftermath of all of this. And that's really important because Luke recounts Jesus saying, don't worry. Luke reminds his readers that Jesus said all this would happen. Look at the context for the passage in which we're reading today. The disciples are wandering around the temple saying how wonderful it all is, And Jesus says, it's all going to come to nothing. It's all going to be knocked down. And they must have thought, well, how could you knock such a fantastic temple down? How could that possibly be? And Jesus says, not one stone will be left on another. Every one of them will be thrown down. Jesus is telling people that this is going to happen. So Luke's saying, look, all this was expected. All this was forecast by Christ to happen. And sometimes, you know, people read these words. Oh, nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, the earthquake, and they think that that's talking about the end of the world. But remember, this passage is about the fall of the temple. This is Jesus telling his disciples what's going to happen so that they can be prepared for it, so they're not taken aback by events. And Jesus tells his followers not to live their lives in fear, but to get on with living their lives. Look at the end of this reading. It says, by standing firm, you will gain life. Jesus is telling his disciples not to be overwhelmed by the chaos that's around them. Not to be fearful, living fearful lives. When all around you is going to pot, when there's earthquakes and famines and pestilence and war and all the rest of it, do keep trusting in God. That's what he's saying. And Luke is really keen to make sure that people understand that. And you know, there are times in life when our temples can come crumbling down. Things that we've taken for granted, things that we thought would always be there. Just as the Jews lost their temple, so our lives can be crushed. And we can, occasionally, fall into despondency. And Jesus is saying, look, when all around you is breaking up, continue trusting in God. Stand firm, you will gain life. So whatever it is that rattles us, whatever it is that threatens our faith, Jesus says, not to worry. And in verse 18, he said, not a hair on your head will perish. Now, he's not saying by that that you won't be affected by the wars, the pestilence, the suffering, the pain, and all the rest of it. He's not saying that at all. What he's saying is that God's timescale is bigger than yours. You know, we think of life at birth and life at death. And Jesus is saying, look, it's a lot longer than that. And the eternal safety of your souls is safe in God's hands. That's what Jesus is saying. When he says, not a hair of your head will perish, of course it will in this life. Some of you will even go bald. Jesus is not unaware of the problems of life. And he is not saying that we are immune from them. Of course they will come. But Jesus is saying, look, get a bigger picture. See things from God's perspective, not from human perspective. If you're a fire and brimstone preacher, you're onto a pretty safe bet. If you predict wars, famines, pestilence, suffering, all kinds of horrible things, they will come. They always will come. But Jesus is saying, given the fact that you are subject to the same vagaries as everybody else, make sure that you put your trust somewhere where it actually works. And that's why Christians have focused on symbols like anchors. You know, God is an anchor. Holds us fast in the storms of life. Listen to Jesus' words. By your endurance, you will save your souls. Jesus is saying to those disciples that no matter what happens, the Christian life is about perseverance. It's about keeping going, living out the ways of God in the face of whatever life throws at us. And it might be, you know, anything. It might be horrendous things, like loss of a job, a divorce. It could be all kinds of horrendous things. We probably won't live through the problems that these disciples had lived through. We won't see that kind of death and suffering and bloodshed. But whatever it is, whatever suffering is around us, keep going. Think of those poor people who've been through that terrible problem in the Philippines. You know, the terrible typhoon and how their lives have been just torn apart, all that they took for granted. And Jesus is saying that these terrible things do happen in life and we are not in any way immune from them. Misfortune is not fair. And sometimes lightning strikes in the same place. And that's why it's quite interesting to read the reading from Thessalonians. I'll just finish on this. What does it mean to keep on trusting in God? What does it mean to keep standing firm? What does it mean to keep the face in the face of adversity? What does it mean to keep the faith? Well, here in Thessalonians, you know, it tells you about what living the Christian life is. And it's remarkable. It's absolutely remarkable. It says, they're not busy, they are busy bodies. So being a Christian is about not being a busybody. Mind your own business. Settle down and earn the food you eat. Never tire of doing good. You know, this isn't rocket science. You don't need to go on a course. This is about living a Christian life, keeping on doing good in spite of all the bad around you. And I've put on the bottom of your hymn sheet a little phrase that's taken from the United Methodist Church in Canada. It's a good little mantra to finish off the sermon. We are not alone. We live in God's world. In death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We're not alone. We live in God's world. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. And I think that's a beautiful way of summing up all that's said in this amazing reading today. Amen.